Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
The door of the army of the Lord. Now I have come. And Joshua fell on his face on the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord, say to his servant?" And the commander of the armies of the Lord said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for this place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Father, I just pray, Lord God, that this morning, Lord God, that this word would really touch the hearts of your people, Lord God. I pray that you open every heart and every mind just to receive your word. Father, I pray that you would just stir in me with your spirit, Lord God, and your anointing, Lord God, so that I can preach this message effectively. We give you all the glory and the praise. Do your thing here this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So why do I start with that scripture? I start because anybody who knows the story of the children of Israel, they went on quite a journey. They went through the wilderness with Moses. Moses had passed away, and Joshua was now the commander their leader, and he was now about to take them over the Jordan to the other side to inherit what it was that was promised to them. And I just feel that picture, that image is very, very, very similar to what we're experiencing as a church. I don't feel that we're looking at the Jordan, looking to cross over. I feel like we've crossed over onto the grounds of our inheritance, and we're now looking at certain strongholds, and we're about to take hold of something brand new for our life. So when I was reading this, things start to stir, and God started to tell me, look, the church needs to be in preparation. So the title of this message is Preparing to Enter. Preparing to Enter. There's a definition of preparation. If you can put that up, please. It says, the act or process of preparing, the state of having been made ready beforehand, readiness. As I was studying preparation and really looking into this word, because God was talking to me about it, I came across the fact that implementation is something that can be overlooked sometimes by people. They look at preparation, but they fail to look at implementation. You can prepare very well, but your preparation might fall to pot when it comes to actually implementing that thing. So then God started to speak to me and say, right, okay, well, Joshua, he had crossed over the Jordan. He had come to this place where he was ready to take down the stronghold. But there were certain things that were put in place. And I feel that there's some principles that we can look at that are going to prepare us and steady us and make us ready to really take hold of what God has for us in 2016 going forward. So first of all, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to Joshua 3, reading from 12 to 13. He says, now choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. The priests will carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will cut off the stream, cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. Well, that's pretty amazing, right? But what is this talking about when it comes to our lives? What does it mean? How do we apply this? Well, when we look in scripture, 9 times out of 10, when water is used as some sort of a symbol, it usually refers to the Spirit. And I believe that this water, this Jordan, actually was representing the spirit of death. And I believe that the ark, as we know, is representative as the body of Christ. And Christ entered in to death and cut off its power. And the first thing that we need to know as one of our principles looking forward to 2016, ready to take what God has for us, is we need to really recognize the power of the cross. The power of the cross. We've got to get back to 100% basics and know what the cross did for us. That there was a miracle work that took place. It cut off the power of death. No curse can hold your life. There is nothing that can hold you back. When it comes to sin and death and all that stuff, that is cut off from your life completely. You need to know in your heart that you are saved. You need to know that you are unpunishable. You are not in a position for punishment. That has been taken away. As I was preparing this, I felt God speaking to me. And the question that I had to ask you is this: do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God loves you? This question kept coming up time and time again. I was like, Lord, what? This question seems like quite a basic question. But I'm just trying to be obedient to what he said to do. I thought, this is not a complex question. It's very simple. But at the same time, do you know how hard it can be to receive that? It can be very hard to receive the fact that God actually loves you. And time in and time out, throughout the Word of God, he makes attempts at trying to translate this truth to human beings. He wants you to know that he loves you. I believe that when the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray, that's why he started with our Father who is in heaven. I believe that's why, because he wanted to change the mindset that people have towards their God. Because God is so mighty and God is so great that sometimes we can put him in this taskmaster type box. Like he's just there to judge and tell you to do that and tell you to do that and judge you for this. And then that won't happen and this will happen. And you start to get the wrong mindset of who God is. And you have to recognize that he is your Father. This principle is a big principle, I'll tell you why. Because if you can't grasp that God is your Father and you can't have that relationship with him, it is going to affect your prayer life. It is going to affect your walk with God. It is going to affect your kingdom experience. You can't experience the things of the kingdom fully if you have the wrong relationship, because you won't position yourself and come before him the way you should. The Bible says that we should come before his throne boldly. How can you come boldly before in front of such a majestic God if you don't understand that he's your Father? Galatians 4, verse 6 to 7 says, and because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own children. And since you are his children, God has made you his heir. This truth is the first principle that we need to know. If there's anybody who is struggling with the fact that God is their Father, if you can't understand that, that is something that you need to take to your prayer closet. You need to come before God. You need to say, Lord, I just need you to give me this reality of you as my Father. I need to know you as Father. You see, mankind, because of sin, were cut off from that Father relationship with God. When sin came into the earth, we were cut off from God, and we no longer had that Father connection. And the problem with that is that everybody in their own way has gone about trying to reconnect with something that would fill that void. Some people have gone out and taken drugs. For some people, it was sex. For some people, it was money. Everybody had something that they chase after to try and fill that void. They wanted that Father connection. And I'm not talking about a father like an earthly father. I'm talking about a father like your creator. When you are cut off from your creation, there is, for the one who created you, there is naturally a void that steps in. And that was the experience. Now, when you get saved, you give your life to God, you are saved, yes, but until you get to the place where you recognize God as Father, you are not fully fulfilled in yourself yet. Could stay on that one for a bit, but I think we're going to move on. So we turn to Joshua 4. I want to look at another principle. He told them, go into the middle of Jordan, the Jordan, in front of the ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder, 12 stones in all, one of each of the 12 tribes of Israel. We will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what does these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. I believe that, in fact, can I just see a show of hands of who experienced some form of a move of God in 2015? Some sort of a testimony. Look at the hands that are raised. This is a lot of hands in 2015. Now, one thing that's come to my attention over the last few years is that when people speak about the testimonies of God, they say it, they become almost desensitized to it. You know? Like, even sometimes people might say, well, God spoke to me and he said this. For me, I think that's like a wow moment. Like, God spoke to you and said that. Do you know what you're telling me? You're telling me that the creator of heaven and earth spoke to you. And you're ready to pass on into another conversation. Like, that wasn't a bigot. That is a bigot. God spoke to you. Yeah? Now, 2015, we saw so many hands raised up in this room. Do you know why this is such a powerful thing for us to have? Because we are in a culture right now, a postmodern culture, where everything is antichrist. The school system is antichrist. Media is antichrist. Every single thing that is around you right now tries to eradicate the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God is real and that he's your father and that he exists. You constantly have that pushed in your face. And as a church, if we don't have the ability to make our testimonies memory stones in our lives, then we are causing ourselves a big problem. We need to make the conscious effort to raise up our testimonies on a week-to-week basis. We should be talking about our testimonies. You know, anytime I'm with any of the young people in the gang, me and my wife, we like to just talk openly about testimonies. Testimonies, God did this, God did that. Why do we do that? Because it raised the faith. It allows them to understand that God is real. That, you know, this isn't just some theological seminar. We come in and we listen to the word of God. Yeah, and then he said this and he did that. Yeah, but where's the experience? Where is the experience? I am not trying to be no Pharisee. I don't want to be coming in here just sitting down, listening to great preachings and going out and then reading a little bit more. And then, yeah, that was nice. And yeah, I understand this now. That's cool, but where is the life experience? That's why the testimony is so powerful, because it takes it away from being theory to being experiential. And we need to raise up our testimonies so that other people around can recognize that our God is real. Our God is not just some theory like these fake gods out there. Them gods are fake. They ain't got no ears, no eyes, no nothing, no breath, nothing. Our God is the God. It just so happens, I remember having a conversation with someone one time and I said, look, it's interesting because there are a lot of religions, and it really dawned on me, like, there's a load of religions, but out of all these religions, it so happens that ours is real. Do you know what I mean? Like, how did that happen? Like, what? How did we end up with the right one? I don't know. It's interesting stuff. I'm just thankful. But we need to, especially for our kids, we need to make sure that our testimonies stay alive in our households. Because the kids are growing up in a society worse than what I grew up in and you grew up in. Because even when I was growing up, there were people who weren't necessarily believers, but Christian principles were still adhered to. You know, like, just, for example, respecting marriage. You respect that thing. You know, even in societies growing up, it was like, if you wasn't married and, you know, you had a child out of wedlock, it would probably be looked down upon at some point. Just these principles were held in culture. But now we're in a place where none of that matters. It doesn't matter no more. And they're growing up within that. And if we can't hold our principles, if we can't hold our testimonies and wave the flag that, look, God is real, then eventually they're going to kind of flow in the wrong direction. We have a responsibility. Joshua 5, verse 1. When all the Amorites kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings who lived along the Mediterranean coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. So basically, Joshua's gone over the Jordan with the children of Israel, and the territories that are in front of him have got wind of the type of power that their God has. And now they've lost heart. Now I want to tell you that if you can just sit down maybe for a day or two and get yourself a pen and paper and start to write down the testimonies, start to write down what God has really done in your life. Stop complaining and whining about the little challenges that you've got in front of you. And think about what is done. If you can do that, then what will happen is you'll start to look towards 2016. And you'll say, listen, if my God is for me, who can be against me? If he did it then, he will do it now. If he did it then, he will do it now. Your testimonies are like a weapon. The enemy was defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb and that's right, the word of our testimony. So why don't we hear many words of the testimony? What? Where are they at? Because most time when people are speaking, they're complaining about the current situation. Too much time whining about the current situation instead of raising up the faith and talking about what God has done. Stop spending time complaining about the challenge in front of your face. There's no challenge too big for God. There's no challenge too big for him. He's done it before, he'll do it again. If you're new to the faith and you haven't yet tasted these testimonies that you hear of, the first one is that you're saved. We can't really get into that right now, but that is testimony one. That is a miracle. But you just get close to somebody who has their own personal testimony and just know this, that God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for them, he will do it for you. And you start to build your faith. You start to build the belief in God. You have to get to a place where you're not trying to figure out if God is real no more. God is real. You get to a place where you're not trying to figure out if God loves you. You have to accept that he loves you. You have to accept that. So the first one is recognizing God loves you. The second one is using your testimonies as a weapon. The final principle, I want you to turn to Joshua 5, reading from verse 8 to 9. It says, after all the males had been circumcised, they rested in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the shame of your slavery in Egypt. So that place has been called Gilgal till this day. So God had told him to circumcise the sons because when he was traveling through the wilderness, these are the sons that were born in the wilderness and they had not gone through the process of being circumcised. Now, I'm pretty sure everyone knows what circumcision is. But in the New Testament, circumcision is not something that takes place in the natural flesh. It's the circumcision of the heart. It's a heart operation. God does a miraculous work where he cleanses you, he renews you, he clasps his spirit to yours, and you are now a new creation. That is the circumcision that has to take place in order for you to be in a covenant with God. Now, for everyone who's here today who is saved, you have been circumcised in heart. Everyone who is here today who has not been saved, I'm hoping by the end of this, you'll be circumcised in heart. But one thing that you have to recognize is What is the purpose of that happening? What is the benefit of being circumcised in heart? Well, there's many benefits. But the benefit that I'm talking about today is the fact that we are going into a spacious place. We are going into a place where we're going to inherit and take hold of stuff that naturally wouldn't be available to us. What do I mean by that? I mean that we have a God who is greater than us. And the thing that he wants for you is greater than you. The things that he wants for you is bigger than you. It's bigger than you can even comprehend. So you have to have a circumcised heart. You have to be connected in spirit with God for you to even comprehend what he has for you. You have to stop walking by the flesh. Yeah, you got to stop walking by the flesh. You got to stop it. If you really want to take hold of what God has for you, you have to decide to yourself to live a spiritual life. You have to decide to live a spiritual life. You have to be really connected. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 11 says, that is what the scripture means when it says, no eye is seen, no ear is heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except the person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. If your prayer life is not really happening, if it's non-existent, I've got bad news for you this morning. The bad news is this. You are missing out on so much. It's that simple. You're missing out on so much. Because God is spirit. And when you got saved, his spirit connected with your spirit. And he has things that he wants to transmit from his spirit to your spirit. But if you don't pray, you don't give him the time to do that. If you're just waking up in the flesh, rushing around, getting dressed, and then cracking on about your day, and then coming back home and going to bed, getting ready to do that again, then you're missing out on life. You're missing out on what God has for you. God has a blueprint for your destiny. You've got thoughts and ideas for your own future, but listen, he's got thoughts and ideas for your future that's bigger than you. So if you don't want to live standard life, if you don't want to live just a basic life, you see a lot of Christians living basic. 9 times out of 10, it's because they don't pray. 9 times out of 10, it's because they don't get shut in with God. You have to discipline yourself to connect with God, to hear what he's got to say, to find out what he has for your destiny. A lot of people say, I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know my direction. I can't figure out this issue. Do you pray? Blank face. Well, sorry, I can't help you. I can't do anything about it. It's God. He's our answer. He is our answer, and that is it. Worship team, please. So just in closing, then we arrive at Joshua 6, 2 to 5. And he says, but the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest, give one long blast on the ram's horn. Have all the people shout aloud as they can. The walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. Scriptures like that are scriptures that sometimes you can read and you can say, wow, that was great. God did a great thing. And then you can close your Bible and you can look at the day and you can say, well, what about me? Where's my Jericho falling? There has to be some sort of a translation between reading that scripture and experiencing the power of God in your life. And that's what it's going to take in 2016 for you to take hold of what it is that God has for you. Why do I bring this up? Because we just talked about God's thoughts and the fact that to enter into them, you have to be connected with His Spirit. And the way to access that is through prayer. This mandate that was given to Joshua to put in place was one that was birthed by prayer. It was one that was birthed by a prayerful experience. This is not a normal thing to do. When you have a tower standing fortified, the last thing you want to do is march around that with a few trumpets and start shouting at the walls expecting for it to fall. So this work right here was supernatural. Supernatural. It's not normal. Now, you might be challenged this year because God might speak to you and tell you to do something that might not sound normal. I remember when God told me not to enter back into full-time work, but to focus on ministry. That's what He told me. I'm not saying that He tells everybody that, but that was mine. And I had to listen to that, and I've seen His faithful hand. Now, God has things for us to inherit in this year. Great things. Things that you haven't experienced. Things that you couldn't even imagine. But it's going to take great faith. It's going to take great faith. You're not going to walk into it just willy-nilly. It's not going to happen like that. So unless you're ready to pray, seek God, hear what He's got to say, and walk out on faith.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.